for Timex watches, their slogan was, "It takes a licking and keeps on ticking." And they used to have those commercials all the time. I'm sure many of us remember those commercials. But in one commercial in particular, had a Timex watch laying in a barren wasteland, like after a nuclear explosion had went off and there was nothing and it was still working. It was like one of their commercials or ads for their watch. And, you know, I was just thinking about that slogan and that kind of thing. And that's what real faith is supposed to be like. Real faith is supposed to be able to take a licking and keep on ticking. Real faith is increased when it's tested. It pushes us towards God when storms come. That's real faith. Real faith can take a beating and keep on moving forward. It can take the hits and keep moving forward. And so, you know, in 2 Peter, there's some things that we need to know about this, because we know that, you know, I got to think about this. Satan hates our faith. Why? Because the thing that got him kicked out of heaven was losing faith in his creator. It's shown in Genesis 3 where he questions the woman. His heart and motive was to question God's motives. That's exactly the first thing he did with Eve, is he said to her, "Did God really say?" And then he said, you know, he just doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't want you to have power. He doesn't want this for you or whatever. So he was giving a negative point of view and a negative slant towards what God was like to her. You know, like he had hidden motives and his heart wasn't genuine or pure. So he had lost faith in his creator. That's what got him kicked out of heaven. And everything that he does to try to push that same agenda, to try to multiply that. Us to lose our faith in God, or causing people to lose faith in God, or just causing things to go that direction. I mean, he even took angels with him from heaven. And so, you know, that's his job. But if our faith is genuine and our faith is real, then when he comes to test and the storms come and the trials come, if our faith is genuine and real and we're adding to it the things that 2 Peter tells us to be adding to it, then we'll be strong and that faith will push us towards God. He'll actually push us into the arms of God if our faith is genuine in Jesus Christ. It'll actually do the opposite of what he wants it to do. And so, but there's something that we have to realize, that, you know, just like the Timex watch, it takes a licking, keeps on ticking, and that whole thought about that in the commercials. You think about that, but that watch without batteries ain't gonna do nothing. It has to have power. Same thing with our faith. 2 Peter says this. I want to read this. So I'm going to start in verse 2. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given, to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust." In verse 5, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." So he's saying that add to our faith some things. And this is where we're going. It's about to list out these things that we should be actively adding to our faith. It is the battery to our faith. Just like the watch doesn't work without batteries. It can take a licking and keep on ticking, yes, but it has to have power to keep working. Our faith is the same way. And Peter lists out right here several things that we need to be adding to our faith. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For these things are yours and abound to you. Abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says to ever more diligently be seeking to add these things to our faith. The demons and Satan know that God's real. So me saying that I have faith in God, I believe that he exists and that he's real, and even that he's loving, that is not faith. It's like if I say I have faith in Jamie, I'm saying a whole lot more than I know Jamie. Because what I'm actually saying is I trust her. I trust, if I say I have faith in Jamie, then I'm saying that I know her heart towards me is pure and good and that she wants the best for me, and I trust her to have my back. I trust her that my name is safe in her mouth when I'm not around, and I trust her. And there's a whole list of things. If I say or you say that you have faith in someone, you can think right now, there's not that many people that you can say, I have faith in them. Why? Because it's based in trust. What does the devil question in the garden with Eve? The trust. He questioned the trust. Did he really say? He has another motive. No, he doesn't. But that's what the devil does. That's what that does. Now, Satan knows that God is real, and the devil and the demons and all that, they know that God is real. But they don't have faith. They don't have trust in him. We have to make sure that we're trusting in him, that those things that are listed out here in 2 Peter, that we are diligently seeking to add them to our faith, to our knowledge that God is real, to our belief in Jesus Christ, so that it increases, because that puts the power in our faith. That establishes trust in God. That builds that foundation in us. So Peter encourages us to diligently seek these things, to diligently look to add these things to our faith. He specifically says to add it to our faith. So if our faith can take a beating and take a licking and keep on ticking, and it actually pushes us into the arms of God when trials come, that's a good sign. That means we're on the right track. But if it does the opposite, if we're wavering, if we're struggling, if when trials come, it's not doing that. It actually pushes us away. And then when the trial's done, we come back. And then, you know, the next trial, we do the same thing and the same thing. Instead of pushing into God and growing and being diligent and to add these things to our faith, if it's doing the opposite, then something's out off. Something's not right. And we've got to identify these things and add them to our faith to strengthen it and to cause that thing that the enemy does, those things that he brings against us, those life trials that come, those difficult situations that we all go through, all of the storms and all the stuff is to push us closer and deeper into the arms of God. That's what it's supposed to do. And so if we have these things that Peter's listed out, and we're diligently looking for these things, we're diligently trying to add these things to our faith, then our faith will grow stronger and it'll be able to take a hit. It'll be able to take a battle. It'll be able to endure a storm. It won't crumble under the afflictions. It won't crumble under the attacks. It won't crumble under the unknown and the worry and all of the stuff. All of that stuff will fade if our faith is strong and genuine and real, and we're adding these things that Peter talks about. So I want to go try to teach. I do have notes today, which is unusual for me to have this much, but I want to go through some of this and ask the question, so how do we grow in true faith? How do we increase in our trust in God? One of the answers to this question is that we must add this stuff to our faith that Peter's listed out. We've got to add this stuff. I don't care how good a Timex watch is, it's worthless without batteries. It's worthless. So our faith is dead without power behind it, without trust in it. So if we are looking at 2 Peter 1 through 9, Peter was writing, number one, in verse one, he was writing to those who had obtained faith. Grace and peace was multiplied when we know God, talks about that in verse two. God's power has given us everything we need pertaining to life, verse three. He has given us great and precious promises to help us partake in his nature, to help us overcome worldly lust, verse four. So now, because these things, God tells us in verse 5 to apply diligence in our walk with him. So he's talking to people who have faith. He's talking to people that know God, that have obtained faith, and that they have everything they need pertaining to life and godliness. And then in verse 5 he says, now add this. So you have obtained faith. You believe in Jesus Christ. So now add this. Add diligence to your walk. And so it's kind of like it starts a parade and faith leads the band and love brings up the rear. This list of things. Faith takes the head and then love brings up behind all these things that he lists out to build on our faith. In verses 5 through 7, and so I just want to really focus today on those things and find out where I was. Okay, so let's list them out. The things that he lists out in verses 5 through 7 to add to our faith are moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If these seven things are in you and are increasing, you will be fruitful. If not, you will be barren. If you lack these qualities, you're blind and have left your first love and are forgetting the forgiveness that Jesus has given. So if we lack in those things, that's where barrenness comes from. That's where the storms control us and we don't control the storms. That's where life pushes us around and we don't grow and get pushed into the arms of God. But if we add those seven things, if we're looking to diligently add those seven things to our faith, to put power to it, to instill the trust in God, to ensure that that faith and that trust is strong and they're together and that there's love and faith working together in that, and we diligently seek to add those seven things to our faith like Peter's telling us to do, then that strengthens our faith and we can endure whatever comes along. Whatever life throws, whatever the enemy tries to throw at us, whatever, we won't be shaken because our faith is strong. It will be able to take a beating and keep on moving forward. And so we listed out those seven things. Let me start right here. So it's just a simple format. Number one, moral excellence. Since we have a relationship with God, we need to be people of character. Number one, moral excellence. Since we have a relationship with God, we need to be people of moral character. Character is the reality of who you really are and what you really do. Many of us have heard the quote that your ideal is what you wish you were, your reputation is what people say you are, and your character is what you really are. So we need to seek to be real people of genuine character. Be what we really are. Number one. Number two, knowledge. It is noticeable that character precedes knowledge. Notice he listed first character and then knowledge. Because the Bible says that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians 3:6. So having character and then adding to that knowledge. This isn't to say that knowledge isn't good, but knowledge without character doesn't impress God. Knowledge with character, you've got something. But knowledge without character is not impressive. Not impressive to God, and it's not impressive to others either, to be honest. But then, in Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So we've got to have it. First, we've got to have character. Faith, have our faith, believe in Jesus Christ. We've got to have character. And then we've got to pursue knowledge from a place of character. And have that, be seeking to establish and be real people. Be who we really are. Not have any put-ons, any fake stuff, any acting one way but being another. Just be who we really are. And add to that knowledge. We have to add knowledge to our faith. That's a must. Three is self-control. Since we have faith, add self-control, it says. You might say, I just can't control myself. Can I just say, whatever? Whatever. Yeah, you can. Don't believe that lie. That's a lie that's been perpetuated by the enemy for who knows how long now. I just can't control myself, especially in our day and time. Whatever. I mean, it just doesn't work. It does not fly. It's not going to fly with God. He's made very clear in Scripture that it's, you know, I don't know if he would say whatever, but I'm sure it's equivalent and close. But it might be that, because I don't know. That's the feeling I get when I read this and I think about this and when I was studying this. It's like, you know, you hear that. I've probably said that in the past, you know, before Jesus days. I know I have used that excuse. I just can't control myself. I can't help it. Whatever. That is not true. Yeah. Well, it's just not true. We can have self-control, but we've got to choose it. We've got to choose to have character. We've got to choose to seek knowledge, and then we've got to choose to have self-control. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Next time we're tempted to lose control, remember that through God we have the power to walk in self-control. It's already been put in us through the Holy Spirit. We have no excuse. Not this legit. He's made clear that we have self-control, that he's already installed self-control in us. We just have to choose it. We have to choose it. So number four is perseverance. Since you have faith, persevere. It is your faith. It is our faith and our trust in God that helps us endure under trial. It's our faith and our trust in God that helps us endure through trials. So we need number four to add perseverance. Illustration of that is a Charlie Brown cartoon, and Charlie Brown's at bat, and strike three, and he struck out, and he slumps over and goes to the bench, and he says, "Rats, I'll never be a big league player. I just don't have it. All my life, I've dreamed of playing in the big leagues, but I know I'll never make it." And Lucy turns to console him. "Charlie Brown, you're thinking too far ahead. What you need to do is set yourself for more immediate goals." He looks up. Immediate goals. Lucy says, "Yes, start with the next inning, go out to pitch, and don't trip on your way to the mound. Focus on the next thing. Don't look too far ahead. You feel overwhelmed. You'll get overwhelmed. Perseverance is one step at a time, continually moving forward. Focus on the next object lesson, the next thing that you need to add to your faith, the next scripture that you need to memorize, the next thing that you need to learn, the next thing that's ahead of you, the next step. Don't focus way out here on whatever it is that you feel is your destiny. Yes, you need to pray for your destiny, and you do need to think about it and be looking towards it. But don't look out there and get overwhelmed. Just focus on the next thing and grow one step at a time. That's perseverance. Continually being able to put one foot in front of the other and grow. Grow as a believer. Grow as a Christian. Grow in your calling. Grow in moral character. Grow in knowledge. You know, all of those things require perseverance. making it through to the end, it requires perseverance. So add that to our faith, is what he's saying. Persevere through the next storm and hang in there. That's also being said. Persevere through the next storm and hang in there. Just keep hanging in. That's the moral of the story. Just keep hanging in there. Persevere. Add perseverance. Just look to the next thing. Don't look too far ahead and get discouraged. Number five is godliness. The fifth thing that we need to add is godliness. Godliness is a spirit of reverence and respect to God in all matters. It understands he is a holy God. So godliness is a spirit of reverence and respect to God in all matters. We must add holiness to our faith, not an outward compliance of certain rules, but an inward purity of heart. We've got to add holiness to our faith, not an outward compliance to rules, but an inward purity of heart. There's a big difference. It's not what is on the outside we're doing. It's what's coming from within us, out of the heart, Jesus said. So those are the things we need to make sure that is we're adding the godliness, the purity of heart, making sure that our heart is pure. We must add holiness to our faith. Holiness is not an old-fashioned idea. It's commanded. It's not an old-fashioned thing. It's commanded. God commanded it. Number six is brotherly kindness. Because you have a relationship with God, because you have faith, it says, exercise brotherly kindness to others. Or continue to walk in love toward the brethren. We so often judge one another and act in ways inconsistent with Christian life. We often abuse one another knowing that they have to forgive. We do. But we need to exercise brotherly kindness. Always looking out for the best of the other person. Exercise brotherly kindness between one another. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9, and 10 illustrates this pretty good. It says, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. He's writing to the Thessalonians. They had this thing down. There's no need to write to you concerning the love of the brethren, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. We urge you, brethren, to excel still more. So he's writing to them here, and I think that might have been Paul writing that. He was writing to them. There's no need to encourage you more. You got this down. The you know, brotherly love thing, you're doing it. You're being taught by God. You got it down. But let me encourage you still more. That's how important it is. That even once you have it down, there's still even more encouragement to press into brotherly love and brotherly kindness. Keep those things added to our faith. Keep increasing. None of these things ever stop. We don't get to a place where we got it. Okay, that's good. I'm done there. No, you're always encouraged. That's what he's saying here. We're always encouraged to continue adding these things, to continue pressing forward in these things and adding these things to our faith and increasing in these things. And so, brotherly love. And then number seven is love. Number seven is love. This love is the highest form of love. It's agape love. It's love that does not add any requirements. It is unconditional love. And it's not the I'll love you if or I'll love you when. It's unconditional. It's agape love. It's unconditional love, and we must add it to our faith. Faith and love go hand in hand. 1 Thessalonians 5, 7, but since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love. 1 Corinthians 13:1 and 2. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith, so to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. So, number 7, we've got to have love added to our faith. As 1 Thessalonians 5:7 says, the breastplate are two things. It's faith and love. They go together. It guards our heart. So, just going over those 7 things that is listed out by Peter here in 2 Peter, it's really good. I thought that that really gave a foundation that, you know, we run around all the time in the Christian world today and in the church and just in our culture. Well, I know God, I have faith. Well, there's a whole lot more to it than that. We've got to be adding these things. We've got to be putting these things into practice. We've got to be seeking for ways to learn more about these things. That's part of the knowledge thing. We add knowledge to our faith. We add perseverance to our faith. We add love to our faith. We add brotherly kindness. We add all of these things. But it's not, you know, it's just, it's one of those things that is like the watch. Yeah, it can take a licking and keep on ticking. But if it doesn't have a battery, it ain't doing anything. And so we can say we have faith all day, but if we don't have these things to power our faith, then do we really have anything? I don't think so. Because we need this to power our faith. We need this to breathe life, the life of the Spirit into our faith. And that's when it's genuine, right? It's hypocritical to not have these things, to not want these things. To say I have faith and to not want to add these things to it would be hypocritical, because we'd be saying, I love Jesus, but I don't want to act like him. It's true. It's really true. Character without faith is a cheap veneer. Knowledge without faith is useless information. Self-control without faith is straining unnecessarily. Perseverance without faith is empty at the end. Godliness without faith is mere religion. Brotherly kindness without faith is self-serving. Love without faith is not true love. So if you guys would stand this morning, I just want to end right there on this note. And I want you to go this week. I just felt like God wanted this shared. Go throughout this week and seek these things. Read over 2 Peter, the first chapter. Read over and over and over. Dig in. Seek knowledge. Seek perseverance. Seek brotherly kindness. Go into and grab the knowledge of these things. Look for a character. Look at all these things this throughout this week and from here on. And see, and myself included, where we can add to our faith these things, where we can add more of them, deeper levels of it, whatever, wherever you're at in this process, whatever place, start number one with more moral character and move from there. Start with character, move from there. Add these things to your faith. Put some batteries in your faith so that it comes to life. And so, Father, today in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for your message, God. I thank you for your word, for scripture that is just so clear and concise. And God, I ask you to help us all to seek and to increase our desire to add these things to our faith, to put power of your Spirit and breathe life into our faith, God, and to add these things. And just give us the desire to dig into your word, to dig into knowledge, and to dig in on all 7 of these things, to go search them out, to go on our own time. And God, when we're alone and we go home, to seek diligently to add these things to our faith, to look through your word and understand more throughout scripture and other places where you've said this. Let us dig in, let our heart desire, and let us burn for you, Jesus. And let us burn on the inside of our heart. Let us burn to go deeper in relationship with you and to strengthen the foundation of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.